Hello, happy site owners and webmasters. Welcome to the Blog 8 Tips Tuesday podcast for May 7th, 2019, and I'm your host, Bayana. Tips this week include what the cause was for my site email issues that cropped up after the host move, an update on how things are going at that new host, the new quick video blog promotion experiment I ran over the weekend, and who reached out with an offer because of that experiment, how my deep dive into the Teachable platform is going, what's in WordPress 5.2 that releases today, and why we'll wait to update, the results of a massive accessibility audit on Gutenberg, whether Chrome is really delivering a death blow to cookie tracking, new image and video schema markup in Yoast SEO, a primer for you to learn more about structured data and schema markup, why we don't care that Google shut off slivers of info from Search Console, more on the three new reports in Search Console that will help us with our schema markup and more, and what's in the release of Genesis 2.10. So let's dive in. I hope you'll join me for tonight's live stream at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Blog 8 Facebook page. It's open Q&A time for what caught your attention in this week's tips or whatever you'd like to discuss about your site's success. And I always have breaking news for the day too, so come join us live for the party. In Blog 8 happenings, if you've tried to contact me in the last week or so and I didn't get a reply to you, it's because my email was missing some records at Cloudflare since moving to the new host. Now, it's all been fixed, so please do reach out to me again. And I switched over to a G Suite's account for the Heartwood Art email while I had the tech working on everything too. So that's all nice and set up as well for better email delivery, especially my newsletter there. Now, I've been with Name Hero for about 3 weeks, which is my new host, and I sure am enjoying the 100% uptime. That's the main reason I moved from A2 Hosting. They've had a lot of trouble keeping the servers up consistently for the past year, and I've started helping more folks migrate to Name Hero already too. Now, one was about to hit a triple renewal fee at SiteGround. We did find one caveat with changing to a new hosting environment that I've documented for me and my webmasters, and that's one of the reasons I'm not recommending SiteGround as often now either. I am done with their goofy hosting setup. It works, and it stays up all the time. It's just goofy to work with their non-standard way of doing things. And I will say one thing about Name Hero. Their support is fast. It's been very impressive and easy to work with too. Now, it will take me a few more months of being at Name Hero to fully vet them, but I'm pretty comfortable saying they are definitely a contender for you to consider at this point if you're thinking about moving host. Now, my affiliate link for this is on the resources page, and I offer migration services to help smooth your transition. And let's get an update on what's going on with Heartwood Art. I did send out an email on Heartwood Art with my latest post on the Mitersoft Station frame build this past weekend. And I'm very happy with the video for it too, even though it did take a week to produce. And I was able to include prior videos and posts in it. So that editorial calendar planning is really starting to pay off now. You can go read how I develop an editorial calendar for a new blog for more. And thanks to everyone who subscribed to the Heartwood Art YouTube channel. If you're so inclined, please do subscribe to help support my goal of reaching the 1,000 mark so I can get the vanity domain and more views to start monetizing that channel. Now, for the last couple of Tips Tuesdays, I've been talking about making quick video promos. Well, I made one, and you can visit the post I made yesterday about what I learned and what I'll be doing differently next time too. It's called Experimenting with Quick Video Promotion of Blog Posts. Now, I sure hope it encourages you to get busy with video as well. It's so hot on every platform right now and will get you more eyeballs. Now, as I mentioned in that video experiment post, I currently use Camtasia for my screen recording. I also mentioned a similar software called Screencast-O-Matic, and Maurice from Screencast-O-Matic was super fast to reach out to me to see if I'd like to try the software. And they have a 30-day free trial on it. So I have it on my to-do list to check into and see how much fun I can have with it and what I can make. Have you used Screencast-O-Matic? Would y'all like to do a challenge with it or something? Maybe that will be a great motivator for all of us to start creating more quick promo videos. Now, as y'all know, I completed the scripts for all the Gutenberg tutorials last week. Woohoo! And over the weekend, I did a deep dive into the Teachable platform, which is where I plan to launch the course. Now, I've been taking good notes and plan to either do a course on creating a course there or offering the setup as a service. It's a good platform, but it does have a couple of limitations I was not crazy about, like being able to only connect to one email list. Now, that's not a problem if you only have one course. And I have to use a third-party integration like Zapier to do a limited-time access course. Now, I plan to make access to be 1 month, as I think that's way more time than you're going to need to learn Gutenberg. And this likely also means that I will need to manually remove folks from that email list if I so choose, but there may be a zap for that too. But I'm thinking there will always be something new to learn about Gutenberg, and folks are going to want to stay on that list. Now, Teachable does have a lot of nice features too that will save me extra expense and time, especially with the affiliate options. So it does balance itself out. Now, I'm also chatting with one of my webmaster designers who is also setting up Teachable for her clients about all the customization options. Now, I'm moving into taking notes about course creation, and I'll start making the video tutorials this week, I hope. You know, they say that Teachable is one of the fastest platforms to set up a course. It's not that much faster for me, considering I'm already familiar with how to do it on my member sites. And this requires learning all of Teachable's ways of doing things. Now, I'm doing my best for staying on track to release the Gutenberg course in mid-May, and you know I'll keep you posted. All right, y'all, that's all the news from around here. Let's jump into this week's tips. In WordPress tips, WordPress 5.2 releases today. It includes more additions to the site health check, PHP error protection, a new block manager, and several Gutenberg updates. So be sure to see my post and video for details, especially before you update. Now, I'll be holding off a few days on my updates to ensure they have all the kinks worked out. And you'll find details about that in the post too. Got the link for you in the show notes. Now, you may recall my Tips Tuesday post back in November and December, before Gutenberg rolled into the WordPress core, that I mentioned the accessibility issues it had. I also reported a little on the team lead of that department resigning over it, and a few reports of big-time sites getting sued over accessibility issues, none of which even used WordPress or Gutenberg. So it's not limited to that. There was a call from the WordPress dev community to have an independent accessibility audit done on Gutenberg, and the results of that are in. Now, here's a super short quote from the entire report that I think sums it up. Quote, Gutenberg has significant and pervasive accessibility problems, the likes of which amount to a step backwards for users with disabilities over the legacy editor. Our user-based testing, backed by data from our technical review, indicates that the accessibility problems are severe in nature. We feel concerned that Gutenberg's current accessibility issues will prove problematic for website owners who deploy Gutenberg to content creators in protected populations, or for website owners who are themselves part of a protected population. Therefore, organizations which have high-risk profiles should consult legal counsel before using it and may want to choose to use the legacy editor instead. End quote. And that quote can be found on page 33 of the report. So, obviously, Gutenberg has a few accessibility issues to overcome. Now, this is one of the most comprehensive audits of its type for any CMS or content management system. And it will change all of such open source code for the better, not just WordPress. But the bottom line for Gutenberg right now is that if you have an extremely high profile site like Chick-fil-A and Beyonce, who are at high risk for being sued for lack of 100% compliance as they were, it might be best for you to stick with the classic editor. And that may affect 0.01% of us bloggers. Now, I'm going forward with Gutenberg, as this will be addressed as we go. In fact, some of the bigger accessibility issues are being addressed in WordPress 5.2 that's out today. From what I've seen, it is time to jump onto the Gutenberg train. In monetization tips, the headline on this article is pure clickbait. It says that Chrome deals a death blow to cookies. Now, I read through it, and there will be other ways of tracking, like a browser ID. And the toggle to turn that off will likely be just as hidden as the privacy settings on browsers are now. It's not like we don't already have them. Now, I've asked my Site Audit Plus clients about this because many of them run ads on their sites, and they aren't hearing anything from their ad agencies. But then, those same ad agencies had nothing to say about GDPR in the 2 months that I asked about it prior to the deadline last year. Then they did a mad scramble to address it in the final week. So, I'm keeping my eye on this for us and appreciate you letting me know what you hear about it too. It takes a village. And SEO tips. Yoast didn't wait long to add more schema markup features to its SEO plugin. Just a week after the 11.0 release came the 11.1 update that added special schema for images and video. Now, I've updated all my sites to it, as I think it's safe for the majority of us to do. And I'm not trying to be silent with advice about this. I'm trying to be prudent with my time, as I expect multiple and frequent updates to this plugin for a while yet. Yes, I know many of you have questions. Keep in mind that schema markup is a deep, deep topic, and everyone has different needs. Plus, know that I can't respond to individual sites and/or your unique circumstances via comments or email. Doing any justice to it would require a paid private session and an SEO audit. Now, we'll be addressing schema markup in a live session for our DIY SEO course members as soon as the dust settles with the plugin a bit, and I have time to do even deeper checks than I already have. And if that's not fast enough for you, let me ask you this. Did you ever check your structured data output prior to this plugin change? I'm betting 99% of you didn't. And whatever it was outputting got you to this point with ranking. Now, my goal over the past 2 weeks had been to drop everything when this bomb hit and ensure it would be safe for us to update at all. And I've done that. I'll do more in the coming weeks. It's not a fire that most of us need to put out anymore. So please be patient with me as I gather real data that will be real helpful to us all. And if you would like at least a primer on what structured data is, also called schema markup, then jump into this post from Google that gives an overview of how to enrich your site with it. And I think it will make you glad that Yoast decided to take this leap and give you more of this candy to feed Google. I've got the link for you in the show notes. Now, some SEO plugins, such as Yoast SEO, provide a way for you to see your Google Search Console errors from within your WordPress site. Here's what I've told my DIY SEO course members about it. Don't use the crutch in your site. The data is just too limited. Always go to GSC or Google Search Console for full reports. And after getting into the habit of doing that regularly, my DIY SEO course members can tell you that the sliver of info you get via plugin in your site doesn't begin to give you enough info to make good decisions. They don't rely on that crutch, so losing that info is no big deal. Oh, and here's something we'll most definitely be covering in the DIY SEO course too. Google just released 3 new reports in Search Console. That's right behind a new discovery report they released just a week or so ago. And the 3 reports are unparsable structured data report. Now, this is all about difficulty with schema markup, and it's going to go a long way into the data I'm collecting over the Yoast SEO updates, too. And there's a post from Google with more on what this new report contains. Got the link for you here in the show notes. Another one of the new reports is a logo report. And again, this is about structured data markup, and I am seeing errors with this one. It has more to do with our themes output than any issue with Yoast. And that's why I need a little more time to dig into all this and gather more data so I can have some suggestions about fixes too. And the other report is on site link search box enhancements. Now, I haven't dug into this one yet, so I'm not sure what the report covers, but I'll be asking my DIY SEO course members to start reporting what they're seeing soon, and we'll get to the bottom of it. In theme tips, Genesis released 2.10, and it's safe to update. The devs have been on an arc to be more aligned with WordPress best practices and trends, and for this release, that means beginning the move to have more of the theme settings in the customizer. Normally, you find those under the Genesis Theme Settings tab in your left admin sidebar. And you still can, but if you click on some of them, they're going to take you to the appropriate spot in the customizer now. Now, the new thing that's been added to the Genesis tab is the ability to find and install plugins made by the Genesis team. And that will certainly help you sort through the list, as a lot of different developers make plugins to use on Genesis. But the list in this new tab comes straight from Genesis. Now, that's not to say they are better than plugins made by others, but at least you'll be able to see the native Genesis ones first. And the 2.10 release also now supports WP CLI, which is a command line interface that mainly devs use for the type of work they do. But it's nice for them to be able to access it directly from the site level now. All right, y'all, that's a wrap for this week's Tips Tuesday. Show me some love. Share this post with all your blogger buddies to support all the free and helpful info you get on BlogAid and to help your buddies. And be sure to visit blogaid.net for more tips and resources. And I'll see you online.